All right, we're going to continue our set of lessons in discipleship evangelism, and we are in level 1, lesson 9, and this is called The Power of a Spirit-Filled Life. We're going to go through quite a bit of scripture and things such as that, but in this lesson, level 1, lesson 9, this is called The Power of a Spirit-Filled Life, and basically, what this is going to do, this session, this lesson, is that it's going to lay the foundation of why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, there's lots of differences of opinion or things that go on in the body of Christ. You have segments of the population that do not believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for today. They believed it's passed away with the apostles, that it's not necessary, and those types of things. And then you have other groups that believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And sometimes there can be some animosity that goes between the two different groups. Sometimes people will feel superior than the other one. And that's really a shame, because that is not the point of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this. If you've received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and it's produced pride in you, something's wrong. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit is love. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, everything works by love. When we're self-serving, it profits us nothing. And the Bible says, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm just making a bunch of noise. It profits me nothing. So sometimes that's something that we need to focus on, is it profiting us? But anyway, we're just going to go in, because I've discovered that lots of people don't really have a foundation. That's what we're doing. We're discipling. We're teaching. Jesus said, go and teach everyone what I have taught you. So he wants us to teach. Okay? It's very important. You know, it's awesome. If we look in Mark chapter 6, I believe it's Mark chapter 6, and verse 30. In verse 30 in Mark chapter 6, it says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So God's interested not just in what we do. He's also interested in what we know. He's interested in what we teach. And he's also interested in what we do with what we teach and those types of things. And so I always teach this lesson. It's very good for people who don't understand why there needs to be a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some have been taught that when you got born again, you received all that there is to get from God. And, well, that's not accurate. I'm going to go through scripture and show you that. But it's also inaccurate for those who do believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that will say that those who do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit don't have the Holy Spirit. And so there are people who are genuinely born again who have been taught incorrectly in all different churches. There are people who have been genuinely born again that have been taught that this is not for today, and they haven't really searched it out and those types of things. So this is for people to hear what I'm saying, to hear what the Bible says, not just what I say, and from Scripture, look at what the Bible has to say and then determine it from there. I've seen people who were Baptists, okay, that I've had some time to sit down and talk with them. And they say, you know what? I see it from Scripture, and I want it. And so that's what this is about. It's going to the Word. It's not going to experiences. Experiences are great, but experiences aren't doctrine. We have to go to the Word of God. So first of all, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. We're just going to establish something real quickly. But Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to look at the first two verses. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In other words, these are the primary, principal, elementary, basic teachings of Christ that they taught in the early church. And this is something that we all need. We need to understand repentance. We need to understand repentance from dead works. We need to understand faith toward God. But look at verse 2. It says, and of the doctrine of baptisms. Notice, baptisms there is in the plural, not in the singular. I remember when I was in Russia one time, and I met a guy there. He was a missionary there with Campus Crusade for Christ, and I guess they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and those types of things. And so I'm sitting there in his kitchen, and he's trying to needle me, and he's trying to, you know, see if I would strike up an argument with him, and I wouldn't do it. And he started to laugh at Christians who believe in the second baptism, because there's only one baptism. And they, of course, they're referring to a certain verse that is talking about being baptized into the body, actually, and I'm going to talk about that tonight. But I'm going to discuss real quickly, there are three different types of baptisms, okay? So let's go to Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to look in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, and we're going to see two baptisms here, actually. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, and this is John the Baptist speaking here. And he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. So we know there's a water baptism. Even Jesus said so. Even if you go through the book of Acts, you will see Peter baptizing in water in Acts chapter 2. You'll see Paul baptizing in water in different places. You'll see Peter also baptizing in water in Acts chapter 10. We're going to look at that as well. So we know there's a water baptism. None of us deny that. So again, John says, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So here we see another baptism. It's not talking about water baptism here. So here we're talking about baptizing in the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to notice, Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit, okay? Man baptizes in water, but Jesus baptized in the Holy Spirit according to Scripture. And so let's look at the third type of baptism tonight that's mentioned in Scripture. There's actually others, but it's, you know, there's something that Jesus talked about being baptized with, a baptism that he was going to be baptized with. And he was talking about the suffering going to the cross, which obviously that is not for us. Only Jesus went to the cross for us. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 says, For as the body is one and has many members, obviously it's talking about the body of Christ. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Okay, that's talking about regeneration. When you got born again, it was the Holy Spirit that changed your heart. It was the Spirit of His Son that entered into your heart and you became regenerated. So when you get born again, you receive the Holy Spirit in that capacity. So notice in verse 13, For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. A good verse to talk about that is Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. And it says in Titus chapter 3, in verse 5, it says, it's talking about regeneration, getting born again. It says, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That is when you were baptized into the body of Christ. When you heard the gospel and you believed, you were saved. Okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. We're establishing some things here. Because I've gone through these things and people have been able to get understanding, and then they want it because it's not just he said, she said, it's what the Bible says. And people say, you know what, I am committed to God and I see it from Scripture, and if that's what God has, I want it. So in Romans chapter 10, let's look at verses 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I want you to focus on that and remember that, because we're going to bring this up. You have to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And when that happens, when you believe the message of the cross, when you believe the message of the gospel, and you believe that Jesus died for you and He was raised from the dead, that's when regeneration takes place. I want you to remember this, okay? Verse 10, For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let's go over to John chapter 20 now, John chapter 20, and let's look at verse 19. John chapter 20, we're going to start at verse 19, okay? It says, Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, by the way, this was after Jesus was crucified and the disciples had not yet known He was resurrected, okay? Verse 19, Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be with you. When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Now, I want you to think about this, folks. Listen, we just read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that when you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, you're saved, okay? So this is when they knew that they knew that they knew that Jesus had been was raised from the dead. Look at verse 22. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Folks, this is when the disciples were regenerated, okay? When you come to Christ, God breathes in you the breath of life. In other words, the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is also called breath, okay? When you were regenerated by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the life of God came into you. That's why a lot of times, I certainly did, lots of people say, "I feel light, I feel free, I feel like a different person." You know what? You don't base things off of how you feel, but you know what? That's why you felt different if you felt differently, because God breathed in you. Jesus breathed in you. The Holy Spirit was breathed into you, and you were then set into the body of Christ, or as 1 Corinthians chapter 12 said, baptized into the body of Christ. Okay, this is just terminologies that the Bible's using. Okay, so I want you to see at this point, the disciples were regenerated. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look at verses 46 through 49. This is Jesus speaking, and it says, "Then he said to them, 'Thus it was written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day.'" And that repentance, and now folks, this is before he was ascended into heaven, okay? So this is after he breathed upon them, okay? I think everyone here has logic. You know, God expects us to use our brain, not just disconnect it. He expects us to be able to connect the dots between scriptures. When Jesus breathed upon them was when he first appeared to them. This was right before he ascended to them. You know how we know? Because in verse 50 it says that he ascended right here in verse 51. Verses 50 through 53, it talks about him ascending, okay? Now, I want you to notice, this was right before he left, so this was after they were regenerated. They had already received the Holy Spirit. Folks, this goes a long way. If you are out there and you have family members that are resisting the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they don't see it in the Word, use these scriptures that are going over you. I guarantee you, if they're committed to the Word, they're going to have to see it, and they're going to have to say, you know what? That's what the scripture says. So in verse 46, again, it says, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Okay? So this is talking about a baptism that's going to come, not something that's already been done. They'd already been born again. They'd already been regenerated. They'd already been baptized in water. So that guy that was in Russia talking about the second baptism, absolutely, it's scriptural. It's a doctrine of baptisms, plural, not baptism singular. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. We're going to see this further. And this is basically the same exact incident here that we just read in Luke, but it gives a little bit more detail from a different angle. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." I want you to notice, the Holy Spirit is labeled being the promise of the Father. We're going to see this. It's the promise of the Father, okay? The enduing power of the Holy Ghost is called the promise of the Father. If you read this through, you're going to see it. Okay? So he said, "To not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" This is right before he ascended, folks. They had already been regenerated. He already said in John chapter 20, in verse 22, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So what is Jesus talking about? Why would he tell them that they're going to receive the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Spirit if they've already received the Holy Spirit? Folks, Jesus didn't lose his mind or forget what took place. This is a subsequent work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Let me say this. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, or being endued with power from on high, is only for born-again believers. But it's the promise of the Father, and it's also a gift. of the Father. You cannot earn the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Okay, but you can't earn it. It's a gift. Just like you could not earn salvation, it's a gift. The Holy Spirit also is a gift. Let's go to verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is in reference to being baptized in the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And verse 8 tells us why they're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I want you to notice this is power. It's not necessarily character or fruit of the Spirit, okay? I want you to notice this. So many times people think that if you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're going to be perfect and never sin and never make a mistake again. That's not true. Okay, I could go over scripture. Paul made mistakes. Peter made mistakes. Being baptized in the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you're now perfect, but it's now you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness, not just to witness. You know, you don't need the power of God to witness. Okay, just go over some scriptures and just give them your testimony. Now, understand me. I do that. Don't misunderstand me. But you need, in order to show people the power of God, the reality of God, and just say, you know what? Jesus came to set you free. Jesus came to heal your body. Jesus came to forgive you of your sins. He came to bring deliverance to those who are captive. And then we are able to lay hands on them and show them by the power of the Holy Spirit, not our power, the reality of the kingdom of God, setting them free, seeing them receive the Lord Jesus, get healed, start to become discipled, and start to become people of God that are able to walk in the same things and produce the same things that Jesus wants us to produce. We can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to see when this took place. Now remember, they were already born again, regenerated in John chapter 2, but it was in Acts chapter 2 after Jesus had ascended to heaven, okay, was when they were endued with that power. And we all know these verses, but we really need to see it again. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to notice one thing that we need to notice, okay? Now, in the next lesson, we're going to talk about how to receive the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now. Verse 4, one of the things that scares people about the Holy Spirit, that one Baptist guy I talked to you about, he was terrified because he had heard all kind of crazy stories that the Holy Spirit's going to make him fall on the floor, roll around, and all this different kind of things. And I said, nope, if you want to, you'll do that, but the Holy Spirit's not going to make you do anything. The Holy Spirit does not dominate you. He doesn't control you. If you are out of control by some spirit, if you can't control yourself, if you can't control what you're saying, if you can't control your actions, if you can't control the things that are taking place in your life and in your body, when the so-called spirit takes control, you need to be delivered. Okay, that's not the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, God will lead you to say something, but he will never make you say it. You are the one that has to agree with him and go and do what God says. God had to talk Moses into believing him and going and speaking what God told him to speak. God did not take over Moses, and he was just there like, I don't know all the different terminologies of all the different things that are involved in Satanism, where you're not even in control, you know, where the spirit is controlling you. Auto-writing, where you don't even know what's happening. Your eyes are rolled back in your head and you're writing like that. No, that is not the way God wrote the scriptures. He breathed upon those holy men of old and they penned the scriptures, listening to the Holy Spirit and yielding fully their faculties, their personality unto the Holy Spirit. God never takes control of you and makes you do something that you otherwise wouldn't do. He always flows through you in perfect unity, in perfect harmony. God is a good God. He's not out to make you look foolish or embarrass you. Now, the world may think you're foolish, but he's not going to do things like that, you know, making you bark like a dog and roll on the floor and all those types of things. If you want to roll on the floor and bark like a dog, you did it. Don't blame God for that, okay? All right? You did that. You know? And you know what? Some people get happy and they jump. They say, man, the Holy Ghost came upon me and made me jump. No, not really. You got excited and you jumped. Nothing wrong with that. I've done that before. I've gotten excited before. Amen? But the Holy Spirit doesn't make you do something. Look at verse 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. They're the ones who spoke. One of the greatest hindrances for people being filled with the Holy Spirit when they finally believe it's for them is that they're waiting for the Holy Ghost to make them do it instead of yielding to the Holy Spirit and they speak. See, it's, they were the ones who spoke, but it was the Spirit that gave the meaning behind what they were speaking. Okay? Now, I don't have time to go through all that. We need to move on. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, we know these verses, but Mark chapter 16, I'm really establishing some things here for people. Mark 16, verses 15 through 16, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned or will be damned. Okay, I want you to notice, Jesus said, he who believes the gospel and is baptized is saved. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we're going to look at the book of Acts, where the book of Acts shows us people who were born again, regenerated, received the Lord Jesus, but had not yet received the Holy Spirit as far as the gift of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus is talking about in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. And so here we see in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. I want you to notice what he preached to them. He preached Christ to them. He's preaching the gospel. Jump down to verse 12. For sake of time. But when they, who? The people listening to him preach. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. That's talking about water. So folks, according to Jesus' command, go preach the gospel, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Were these people, by the authority of Scripture, were they saved? We'd have to say yes. So they had received the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the baptism into the body. Not only that, but they had received the baptism in water, okay? But let's go down to Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. We're going to see here. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14 says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. In other words, when they heard there's a group of people that are now saved, they sent Peter and John to them. Verse 15, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. But wait a minute, Sean, I thought they already received the Holy Spirit. Well, only if you have been taught that. In other words, I'm talking about the subsequent work of the Holy Ghost, the power that Jesus said to tarry in Jerusalem. Okay, now, us as believers today, we don't have to tarry the way the early apostles did. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's already been poured out onto the earth. Since Acts chapter 2. You don't have to tarry now for the Holy Ghost, okay? Now, well-meaning believers, they taught that and believed that back in the early days of the 19th century. And that's not making fun of them, but we can see through the book of Acts, people didn't tarry after Acts chapter 2, okay? As soon as they heard about the Holy Ghost and people ministered the Holy Spirit to them as far as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and remember, it's Jesus who's doing it, but he always flows through us. It's just like when we preach the gospel, we're not saving them, but the Holy Spirit is. God always flows through his people. And verse 15 says, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord. So obviously they'd already been baptized in water. So they're talking about the second baptism here, the subsequent work. Verse 17 says, then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, you don't lay hands on someone to get them saved, okay? They have to believe the gospel, believe it, commit their life to it, okay? This is talking about the indwelling of power. This is talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that subsequent work of the Holy Spirit that God wants every believer to partake of, okay? So let's now go to Acts chapter 19. We're going to go to one more portion of Scripture that shows us that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a secondary work that God wants every believer to partake of, or a subsequent work of the Holy Spirit, okay? If you are born again and you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you do have the Holy Spirit. I want to make that clear, okay? You have the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, and you have the Holy Spirit living within you, but God wants to also give you the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can be a witness. Okay, he wants you to be able to be filled with the Holy Ghost to where you read the Word of God and you have your teacher activated to teach you things. And we're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about the benefits of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the benefits of speaking in tongues. And that's not tonight. Okay, But when you do that, you activate your teacher and you can read the word and it comes alive to you and you can just see some things and see yourself doing these things. And I'm telling you, you can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You know what I've discovered? People who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they also don't really truly believe in the power of God is for today. I mean, they may believe it sort of, but they personally have never seen it. But the difference is people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, they do personally see the power of God in demonstration. Not every second of every day, okay? We have to live our lives. The Holy Ghost isn't going to shop for you, go to the grocery store for you. You don't have a different power to pull cereal off the shelf as a believer who's not baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's not what it's for. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not to make us better than other Christians. It's to enable us and empower us to minister life to this world that needs a touch from God. Amen. And so in Acts chapter 19, the first two verses says, "And it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them," listen to this, "did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" In other words, he noticed there was something that was lacking in these people's lives than the normal believers that he knew when he preached the gospel, when he laid hands on them, when he saw them baptized in the Holy Spirit. He noticed a difference in the, I'd say, the power, the power life, the way that they were approaching things. He just said, "You know what? There seems to be something missing. I don't know what it is." I want you to notice, back in the book of Acts, all believers believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's just the truth. And every single book of the New Testament was written by people baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so here he says, verse 2, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Look how they respond. "So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.'" You know, I've discovered there's so many people today that have not heard about the Holy Spirit, even in quote-unquote Spirit-filled churches, Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever you want to call it. Okay, I don't like labels myself. Okay, people in those churches have not even been taught many things. It's really a shame. The body of Christ needs to get back to teaching the word of God to the people and stop preaching self-help messages. Okay, we don't need to know 7 steps to having a better career. You need the Holy Ghost. How about one step, 2 steps to walking in the power of God? Get saved and get filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'll add a 3rd step. Keep your eyes on Jesus and seek him with your whole heart. You know, how about that? If you taught that stuff, you wouldn't need all the self-help stuff. Let me just say, if you're more consumed with success in this life, it's because your relationship with God probably stinks. Notice what I said. I'm not trying to offend you, but if I can stir you up to wanting to run after the Lord, I'll be happy that it offended you. Okay? If all you care about is success in this natural world, how much money you can make, whether or not you're being promoted on your job, your relationship with God probably stinks. Okay? Nothing wrong with succeeding. Nothing wrong with being blessed in order to be a blessing. But folks, if that's all you're consumed with, something's not right. Okay? Let's go to verse 3. "And he said to them," notice, they hadn't even heard of the Holy Spirit. In verse 3, "And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.'" Okay? In other words, the baptism of John was pointing people to Christ who would come, okay, to the Messiah who would come. I don't have time to get into this, okay, who these people were. But in verse 4, Paul explains and he says, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." Now, I believe he said a whole lot more. I believe he preached the gospel to them, made sure they knew who Jesus was, made sure they knew what the gospel was and what they're believing in, okay. In verse 5 says, "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." In other words, they were baptized again in water, okay? In verse 6, "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." So here we clearly see that they believed the gospel, they were baptized in water, and then right there immediately, they didn't have to tarry, because now the Holy Spirit had already been given. As long as they're taught and they understand what's going on, understand the purpose, people can receive the Holy Spirit immediately after believing if they understand what's going on. The problem is most people aren't taught about it. They come to Jesus, and then 6 months later, they're taught about water baptism, and they get baptized, and then maybe a year, 2 years later, sometimes, I'm telling you, this is a shame, but I see it. 2 years later, then they find out about the Holy Spirit. Folks, that is not the way the early church did it. No wonder they saw more results than we see. We wait way too long to teach people what the Bible says. We're supposed to be teaching the full counsel of God's word immediately, not 20 minutes. Oh, man, I'm sorry. If I offend someone, good. You aren't going to get enough word in a one-hour service that the word's only 20 minutes long. Okay? Get out of those seeker-friendly churches and go somewhere that's going to preach the word. If you can't handle a one-hour message, then you're not hungry for God. I'm really not trying to be mean. Really, I love you. But you need to get set on fire. If you're on fire for God, 20 minutes isn't going to cut it. Okay? Anyway, I'm sorry if I offended anybody, but maybe you needed to be offended. All right? So I want you to see here that the book of Acts clearly teaches us that there is a subsequent work of the Holy Spirit that God wants to do in the life of believers. Okay, that is subsequent, secondary. Not secondary in importance, but it comes after regeneration and after, most cases, water baptism. Amen.